From WAMC in Albany, this is the Legislative Gazette, a weekly magazine about New York State government and politics. Your host is David Gastina, with political commentary by Dr. Alan Shartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
Coming up this week, the state legislature approves the DREAM Act. Our political observer Alan Shartok shares his thoughts on the passage of the Reproductive Health Act, and Westchester County has a new marijuana policy. Those stories and more on the Legislative Gazette. The New York State Legislature approved a measure known as the DREAM Act this week that would offer college aid for children of undocumented immigrants. But they stopped short of acting on a measure to offer driver's licenses to immigrants in New York without documentation. The Legislative Gazette's Karen DeWitt reports.
Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie, at an announcement packed with young immigrants seeking to go to college, celebrated the measure's expected success.
Today we will pass the DREAM Act for the ninth and final time.
Unlike in past years, when Republicans in the state Senate blocked the bill, Democrats who now lead that chamber also approved the measure, and Governor Andrew Cuomo is a supporter. Assemblywoman Catalina Cruz was an active member of the Dreamer movement before she was elected to the state assembly last fall. Cruz came to the U.S. with her mother when she was a child to escape the drug wars in Colombia. She overstayed her visa and was undocumented for 13 years until she became a citizen when she married her high school boyfriend. She became a labor and immigration lawyer. She says the law is one step towards eliminating the discrimination that undocumented immigrants face.
Our parents have contributed millions of dollars into the New York State economy, and we have contributed millions of dollars into the New York State economy. Yet we're not seen as human because we don't have a piece of paper. That's not fair. We are as American as anybody who was born here. Many of us don't even remember the country where we were born. Many don't even speak the language.
The DREAM Act was renamed the Jose Peralta New York State DREAM Act after the late senator who died suddenly of complications from acute leukemia at the age of 47 last November. Peralta, a Democrat from Queens, was a tireless backer of the DREAM Act. He even joined the now-defunct Independent Democratic Conference in hopes of advancing the measure, but that proved his political undoing, and he lost his seat in a primary last September. His wife, Evelyn Peralta, attended the announcement and witnessed the vote along with her children. She says the issue was a labor of love for her late husband.
Today, my husband's dream becomes our reality. So every young immigrant hearing my words, we love you, we see you, and we welcome you into our American family. The spirit of my husband is alive in this room.
GOP members in both houses voted against the bill. Senator Robert Ort, a Republican who represents a district in the Buffalo-Niagara Falls region, says the $27 million in college aid to undocumented immigrants is not fair to middle-class New York residents who he says are struggling with college costs. He says many of his constituents hold large student loan debts.
They not only have to struggle to pay back their loans or pay that tuition, but they also know that their dollars are going to pay for illegal immigrants. When we can take care of every American citizen who is here legally, who is played by the rules and paid into the system, then we can talk about those who are not.
The Senate also voted to raise the family income eligibility for New York residents for the state's tuition assistance program from $80,000 to $95,000 a year. The Assembly did not take up the measure. Assembly Speaker Carl Hastie says it will be discussed as part of the budget. Immigrants' rights groups are also seeking access to driver's licenses for undocumented immigrants. The sponsor of the DREAM Act in the Assembly, Carmen De La Rosa, says the measure is more than just a box checked off the agenda.
This is also about an immigrant community in New York State that needs protections.
We must make sure that the driver's license bill is passed.
That bill was not voted on Wednesday. Speaker Hastie says his Democratic members plan to discuss the issue soon. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
Joining us now, Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. Well, Alan, this week the big news, of course, that the New York State legislature passed and the governor signed the Reproductive Health Act, which is now codifying the Roe versus Wade decision on abortion rights into New York law, something the governor and legislature promised to do and have quickly done.
Well, you know, the Catholic Church has some long-held objections, and American Catholics have to decide what it is that they want to support. Now, in Ireland, which is interesting, which has had a strict anti-abortion rules all of these years, they've just reversed that there. And that is a state which has a huge Catholic population. And both houses of the New York State Legislature are moving to codify this. Of course, I happen to think that this is a very important change to protect women in New York. But what about women in Kentucky? What about women all over the rest of the country? And we do have a fairly good sense that the men, M-E-N, on the Supreme Court are going to be voting as a bloc to weaken the rules that allow women to decide what to do with their bodies.
Well, speaking of the Supreme Court, Alan, the court is now taking up its first gun rights case in 9 years. This is a challenge to New York City's prohibition on carrying a licensed, locked, and unloaded handgun outside the city limits.
I fear for the results. Once again, this is what happens. You elect a president, he puts people on the Supreme Court. I said so during the election cycle, said people should remember that that happens. And we know where this court has been leaning on gun control, and I will be surprised if the New York law is not done away with.
In New York, the state legislature approved the DREAM Act, Alan, which would offer college aid for children of undocumented immigrants.
Yeah, it's a good thing. New Yorkers are really, every time they see that guy's face on television, they get angrier. We're talking about the president. So politicians are going to rush to say, okay, all the things he's going to deny, the state of New York is going to have a separate little country here that'll be different than what the president is trying to do with the red states and others. We're seeing it on abortion. We're seeing it on so many ways. And this is just one other. Americans are all immigrants. We know it. And as they understand, the Democrats do not want open borders. What they want are legal ways for people to continue to immigrate. After all, that's where we all came from.
Well, and the New York State legislature approved a measure that ends the mandate that teacher evaluations be based on the results of their students' standardized tests, another step to end a 10-year-old bitter fight between teachers and their unions and politicians, including Governor Cuomo, over the implementation of the controversial Common Core Learning Standards.
Well, that's right, David, because, you know, when Cuomo became elected governor all those years ago, it's like 8 years ago, he took on the teachers' unions. The leadership has now made their deal with the governor, and this is what you're seeing now is coming together. But I can tell you, I can talk to the rank and file teachers, and they are not happy with the guy still to this day. Some of them, not all of them, but some of them will never forget the threat to their positions and to their longevity and to their what they were doing. Whether the governor was right or wrong, well, let's let everybody decide. But apparently that decision is made, and we're going to give up on some of those ideas that, you know, teachers are going to be held accountable when we're not giving them the resources they deserve. What do I mean by that? Well, you go try to teach 35, 37 kids in a classroom. It's not doable. It's not doable. Even if you had 20 kids in a classroom who have been deprived of the kinds of things that people like me, my brother, and others got, if you needed tutoring, you got tutoring, you needed help, you got help. You came from families where reading was a regular part. Not that every family doesn't have that, but many don't. It's a very, very hard job. Our teachers are the best people that we have. And if we mistreat them, then it's really on the people who are doing the mistreating. It doesn't look good. I think Governor Cuomo learned a very powerful lesson in taking on the teachers in New York State.
Legislative Gazette political observer Alan Chartok. We'll be right back. You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government and politics. I'm David Gustina. As the nation remembered the life and work of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. this week, a new Siena College poll offers startling statistics concerning race relations in New York. The Legislative Gazette's Dave Lucas explains.
Just 35% of New Yorkers think race relations in the state are excellent or good. The breakdown? 5% excellent, 30% good. Siena pollster Steve Greenberg.
43% say they're only fair, 19% say they're poor. So 35% of New Yorkers give a positive rating to race relations in the state compared to 62% who view it negatively. It's down from last year. It's down significantly from 2013, just 6 years ago, when 54% of New Yorkers had a positive view of race relations.
Greenberg says there is one thing black New Yorkers and white New Yorkers see eye to eye on.
Black New Yorkers give race relations a negative 30 to 67% rating. White New Yorkers give it a negative 35 to 63% rating. More than two-thirds of minorities in New York, that's black New Yorkers, African Americans, Latinos, Asians, experience discrimination. 68% of New Yorkers say that they think that minorities in New York do experience discrimination. And when we ask voters, have you yourself been treated unfairly in the last year because of your race, ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation? Almost a third, 30% of New Yorkers say yes, they have been treated unfairly in the last year. Nearly half of black New Yorkers, more than a third of Latino New Yorkers. So we see it across the board.
Further crunching the numbers, Greenberg says 83% of blacks, 65% of Latinos, and 64% of whites agree that minorities face discrimination. Albany Center for Law and Justice Executive Director Alice Green says the statistics come as no surprise.
I think we're all feeling that something is happening in this country and we're going backwards. I'm sure it has a lot to do with the lack of moral leadership from the administration. People are starting to believe that racism is okay, and we see it everywhere now. People are starting to write and say things that we had not heard before, and we're really concerned, particularly in the African-American community, because we have to have someone who can pull us together, someone who can show respect for different ethnic and racial groups. The immigration issue is pulling us apart. There's really no real moral leadership here that we desperately need. So I'm worried. I understand those statistics because I think we're all feeling that something is definitely changing and is not positive in this country.
According to the survey, the only demographic group that disagrees and thinks minorities do not experience discrimination is conservatives by a 49 to 43% margin. The Siena College poll was conducted January 6 through 10, 2019, by telephone calls conducted in English to 805 New York State registered voters. Respondent sampling was initiated by asking for the youngest male in the household. It has an overall margin of error of plus or minus 4.1 percentage points.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Dave Lucas.
You are listening to the Legislative Gazette, a program about New York State government, politics. I'm David Gustina. Westchester County has a new marijuana prosecution policy. The possession of 2 ounces or less of marijuana will no longer result in a criminal conviction. This comes as New York Governor Andrew Cuomo plans to legalize recreational marijuana. The Legislative Gazette's Allison Dunn spoke with Westchester County District Attorney Anthony Scarpino about the new policy that's now in effect.
Scarpino says he had been researching and discussing the matter for the past 5 months or so.
Although there's a lot of discussion up in Albany in regards to marijuana, we have no control over Albany's timeline or actions. So we took these steps based upon the research that we had been doing. There have been a lot of articles in newspapers as well as research done by other research think tanks in regards to marijuana. And our concern is not really in regards to the legalization of marijuana, but rather our concern is the nature of the impact that a criminal conviction has on an individual who lives in Westchester and how it causes collateral damage that we feel exceeds the what makes sense for the nature of the minor nature of the crime. So our focus has been on the impact that it has on our members of our community, impacts such as their college applications, their housing applications, their ability to get licenses, whether it be a license to be a doctor, lawyer, beautician, barber, whatever it may be. There's so many collateral problems that arise with a misdemeanor conviction that we felt it was best to take steps to try to reduce that so that by not prosecuting small amounts of marijuana held for personal purposes and reducing the charge from a B misdemeanor when people are smoking in public to a violation, which is non-criminal, we felt after looking at it that it made the most sense. Other offices have taken steps similar to this, Manhattan, DA's, Brooklyn, Albany, and other locations. Of course, other states have taken legalization steps, but that legalization is not our focus here.
Did you look at the policies in those other places you mentioned, like Brooklyn, Manhattan, Albany, when crafting your policy changes?
Yes, we looked at the policies that were created, and our policy is in line with them to some degree. There are certain problems that we run into, and problem may be more difficult obstacles that we have than other communities in regards to some of the steps that they have taken. For instance, they are moving to expunge past convictions. It is considerably easier process to do in, let's say, New York City, where you have one jurisdiction, you have a single court system. Westchester County is 40 different municipalities, 40 different judges, and so the process of expunging convictions in 40 different local jurisdictions is substantially more difficult. We are exploring that. And if, we are encouraging the legislature to take steps in this regard because it would make it substantially easier for us to address that issue.
Scarpino further explains the changes.
There's one section that deals with just unlawful possession of marijuana, which has always been a violation. And then there is the B misdemeanor violation of having more than a certain amount in your possession, but it still is under 2 ounces. Both of those cases are we are not going to be prosecuting them. In regards to incidents where people are burning in public, smoking in public, that case, which is a B misdemeanor, is going to be prosecuted as a violation. A violation does not carry the criminal's impact, is not a crime, doesn't carry the stigma and the collateral damage that occurs. But it is an issue that concerns us. Marijuana in public at parks and things of places of that nature, there's a quality of life issue that we feel that still should be prosecuted, still should be handled. Police still should be able to issue, tickets and have the cases addressed as they were in the past to some degree, except there won't be a misdemeanor. We are not making any changes, though, in regards to, and we're fully prosecuting cases that deal with driving while impaired under the influence of marijuana. There's no impact on that, and as well as any possession in excess of 2 ounces, which might demonstrate more than personal possession, more of trafficking, those are still going to be prosecuted the way we always have.
In addition to collateral damage, Scarpino says the move to a violation for possession of 2 ounces or less should free up some resources.
We also have, as any organization, we have certain limited resources. It enables us to divert some of those resources to other areas, more serious crimes that we're very interested in prosecuting.
He says statistics in his county also played a part in his decision to change policy.
Over the past years, we've had somewhere from, on a yearly basis, 2,900 to 3,500 arrests for marijuana. And that's a considerable number of individuals whose life is impacted by the collateral damage that comes with having a criminal conviction. So, you know, we were looking at those numbers and we felt that it was appropriate to try to address it.
As states near New York legalize recreational marijuana, such as Massachusetts, where pot shops have opened in recent weeks, Scarpino says his office has not considered possession of products like edibles in its policymaking.
Our policy doesn't deal with edibles and brownies and things of that nature. It's the, you know, the possession of marijuana. That this is what it deals with. How the other issues will be addressed when the time comes, I can't advise you on that at this point in time.
Westchester County District Attorney Anthony Scarpino is a Democrat first elected in 2016.
For the Legislative Gazette, I'm Allison Dunn.
And that about does it for this week's show. We had help from the New York State Public Radio Network. For copies, call 1-800-323-9262. That's 1-800-323-9262. Ask for program number 1904. Or just listen or podcast on the web at wamc.org. And join us again next week at this same time for more news on New York State government and politics. For the Legislative Gazette, I'm David Gustina.
Statewide distribution for the Legislative Gazette is made possible by New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.